Welcome, welcome to the Off Leash Podcast with Dr. Pete. Once again, minus Dr. Pete, because he is at work today. So Ben and I are filling in.
Absolutely.
I am your normal co-host, Molly Van Branken. I guess I'm the normal host today. And we're so glad that you joined us. Remember, we're not here to say what you want us to say. We're here to be an advocate for your pet.
Absolutely.
For your fur babies, your fur children, your four-legged children, all the above. I have 6 four-legged children right now.
Too many.
Too many. Okay, just to preface to everyone, three of them are personal dogs. I can't decide if I want to keep Ren or not.
Who, Ren?
Yeah.
No, you got to keep Ren. Ren's a good
dog. Oh my God. I do not need 3 dogs. All the rest are client dogs because I train and sell hunting dogs. So that's my little side hustle.
You got a whole pack of them over there.
I do. I know. One of my clients actually just took Bean. I love Bean. And then I got Ella, Rip, Ren, Stetson, and Sage. Stetson and Sage are my 2 personal dogs. Ren is the one that I can't decide if I want to keep or not. She's a sweetheart. I love her. But Ben and I just got back from a very fun meeting down in Orlando at the Global Pet Expo.
Absolutely.
Okay, first of all, what a shit show.
It is. It is wild. That was my first time going. Second time you'd been there, but first time for me. For people that don't know, it's a giant retail event. So it's got everything, dog toys, cat toys. They had all kinds of stuff for your fish, for your pet bird, your lizard. It was insane how much stuff they had in there.
For any of you that don't know, they make Prada dog hats.
And we saw a lot of stuff like that.
I was like, I stopped and I asked the lady, I was like, how much is a Prada dog hat? She's like, oh, you don't want to know.
I can't.
And I was like, well, I imagine, because Prada itself is expensive, but I mean, you... And then they were selling the dog...
The dog strollers. And those were hundreds of dollars, too.
I thought that they were a couple thousand.
I saw probably some of them. There are a lot of them in there. There was one that I passed that for everything.
They were mentioning prices, and I was like, you could just like go on Facebook Marketplace and buy like an old recycled children's stroller.
Yeah, but that would be, you know, your dog needs a high-class stroller. That's what needs to happen, because your dog can't walk around. That's not what, you know...
Yeah, your dog needs the best of the best.
And there was the amount of... I thought it was pretty cool, though, that they did let dogs in there. And there was a bunch of dogs.
Oh, my gosh. The cutest dogs.
Dog influencers. And
did you see any dogs that, like, really, like, memorable for you?
I love Great Danes. Seeing, you know...
You saw Great Danes there?
Yeah. Did you not?
I did not see the Great Danes.
Yeah, some big old... It was like a tan colored or like a dark tannish brown color with like black spots kind of on it. And it was a beautiful dog.
I love Great Danes.
And she was just a big old dog. And I don't know. I love big dogs, and Great Danes are pretty cool. You just don't see them very often. So it's fun to see them.
I saw one guy. He was walking around with a fully colored poodle. Did you see the pink poodle?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. And then we passed the one booth with it's like a grooming booth.
Mm-hmm. And they had the dog.
The Pikachu dog.
Pikachu dog. Yeah.
I think it was like a Pomeranian.
Yeah. Tiny little thing all colored up and everything looked like Pikachu.
It did look like Pikachu. That was pretty cool.
It was something. I don't know I don't think Duke would like let me paint him.
How would you maintain that though?
I'm thinking it's just for the show.
No, because I know, there was a thing on TikTok that I was watching where like people very purposefully go to this groomer to get their dog like leopard spots put on it or tiger stripes.
Well, I think that's what the booth was. That guy was like a mobile groomer because he was cutting the hair of the Pikachu dog. Yeah. So I wonder if maybe we saw a Pikachu fresh paint job Pikachu.
But I just don't... I want to know how it's maintained. Or if they just do it for, like, special events.
I don't know.
You gotta wonder what the dog thinks.
If it was, like a lab, if you painted a lab, essentially they keep their coat for a couple months and then blow out, and then a couple months and then blow out.
Yeah, but some dogs like that don't shed. They don't shed as much. Right. Like, I don't know how much Pomeranian shed. This was a Pomeranian.
Like, that poodle was all shaved, so that's probably a dog.
Poodles don't shed, though, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. I think they're a hypoallergenic dog.
Oh, my gosh. You got to think of the dog with the Pikachu is thinking, what the fuck?
What are you guys doing to me? I look like
the dog literally looked so unenthused sitting there. Was like, oh, my God.
There's a reason why big dogs really don't get painted like that very often.
That's true. So what did we learn at the Global Pet Expo? Tell me just a snippet of information that you learned.
You know, there's a lot of new consumer products, so I always find it super interesting to look at all the new dog foods that have either just entered market or some of the dog foods that are getting released to market. So there's a couple new ones that they released while we were there that I think are interesting. Some treat companies are releasing food for the first time, and you and I got to speak with them, and mm-hmm. I don't think they knew much about their dog food quite yet, but it was brand new. It got released on Wednesday, and we were there and had a conversation on Thursday. But the biggest thing I saw was that, you know, there's still not been much of a change about copper supplements and dog food. Exactly. Every single one of the new products that was released either had a copper sulfate or copper protonate or copper amino acid complex. Mm-hmm. However, I did find it, you know, real technical. Copper sulfate was the one that originally we were seeing the most. And I think it was kind of starting to get a bad name from us and from all of our customers and a lot of the research. But almost out of all the new products, I think only one of them was copper sulfate as an adding. Yeah. It was almost all copper protonate. So for anybody looking at their food,
bad.
Same thing.
Still
it's,
bad.
It's still a chelated copper. It's still going to be way too bioavailable and build up in the dog's liver. So if you're still buying new dog food or if you're looking for dog food and you still see copper protonate and you only were looking for copper sulfate.
Alert, alert.
Yeah, still a problem.
Still a problem. So look out for that. All right, wrapping it up into our next segment, Canine Chronicles. So I was doing a little bit of research earlier, looking at dog news or dog world news.
Sure.
March 23rd is National Puppy Day.
I saw that.
So by the time that this releases, it will probably be far past Puppy Day. But they actually released the nation's most popular dog names.
Popular dog names.
Do you want to guess what they are?
See, my dog's name's Duke, and Duke always seems to be up there high on that list because I'm pretty basic about that.
I feel like they didn't go male to female names or boy girl names. They just did like across the board the most popular name. It surprised me because I don't know a lot of dogs with this name.
So this is the number one name.
So this is the number one name per state.
Okay, so it's, you know, what state are we starting with here?
So it actually goes a lot of the states have the same most popular dog name. And the most popular dog name, it goes from Maine to New York to Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, South and North Carolina, Florida, Louisiana,
Texas.
What's the name? Luna.
Luna. Okay. That seems like a husky kind of a name.
I don't know a single dog named Luna.
I don't know if I do either, but I don't hate it.
So that's why I was like, I don't know how accurate this list is. Okay. So, but in Iowa, do you want to get in Iowa and, Indiana, what's the most popular dog name?
I don't know.
Lucy.
I see it growing up. We had a chocolate lab named Lucy.
Okay.
Like that name.
Do you want to know what the most popular dog name was for Wisconsin?
Sure.
Charlie.
That seems like, you know, pretty classic Wisconsin.
Actually,
folk.
I take it back. It's for Wisconsin, Tennessee, and Georgia. No. Yeah, Georgia. Okay. And then Bella is the most popular name for Oklahoma, Kansas, Arkansas.
Is there any really unique names on this list?
They're pretty generic. Winston. Winston for Kentucky.
I like Winston. That's a good name.
I don't know a single dog with any.
My friend Evan has a big Bernese Mountain Dog named Winston.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I love Bernese Mountain Dogs. They're so cute.
They are. Yeah. They're awesome dogs.
Yep, and there was a few other outliers on this list, like Bailey and Sadie and Milo.
Sure.
But for the majority, it was Luna.
Okay.
For most states. So I thought that was very interesting. And I think that it's such an important, I don't know, I put so much of a stress on when I have a personal dog, like naming my dog. And I always try to choose weird out there names. So like when I named Sage, I'm like a real hippie when it comes to naming my dogs.
See, I'm the opposite. I picked probably what would have been like the most popular name. Just Duke. I liked it. It sounded good.
And then for my second dog, I named him Stetson because the cowboy hat. I love the cowboy hat. Well, I like anything Western, so I like those names. And then after that, Ren because of the bird. Everyone thinks it's Ren from Star Wars, but it's like the most newest Star Wars. I have not seen the newest Star Wars. So it's funny when you tell someone your dog's name. It's funny even like when clients of mine pick dogs' names because you never know what they're going to pick.
Right.
Like I really like Ella. I think that's a beautiful name.
That's a good dog name.
I feel like all my clients pick really good names. Ella, Bean, Rip.
Sure.
Willow. Willow was such a good dog.
I like Willow. Willow is a good name. Willow's a good name for sure.
She was a sweetie. Except Willow chewed a hole in Ben's apartment.
I know. You had me watch her for a couple days. And, or I was helping train her and had her for a couple weeks. And
yeah, I think I was out on a trade show.
I'm not sure where.
I was somewhere.
Well, I had her for a little bit there. And
yeah, you really liked
Natalie
Willow.
Natalie and I really enjoyed having Willow around. She was a good girl.
Such a good dog.
Did like to eat a little bit of drywall, though. You had to keep her away from the corners of the wall.
And she never did it again.
No?
It was just that one situation.
I caught her two or three more times licking that same spot.
Oh,
did? She went back to the well. She enjoyed it more than I would have liked her to.
Oh, God, that's funny. So, yeah, that's all I got in the dog food world, or the dog world. Anything that you got in the dog world today?
No.
For news?
No, I don't. It seems like it's been pretty quiet.
Okay, we're going to skip to the client report.
Sure, absolutely.
What do you got for us
today?
So,
yeah, we actually got a pretty good one in. Let me pull it up here. I'm not prepared. This one got sent in about a couple weeks ago, and there's somebody that worked with Dr. Pete had talked to him about it, and his dog was having some higher ALT. So we knew this dog was potentially having some issues, but we're really sure what it is. So the email goes, attached are the lab values for Ivy from October of 2023 and March of 2024 after chelation therapy and 1.5 bags of Voyager dog food. It looks to me like the experiment may have worked. Ivy has put back on weight and is back to getting through the fence and chasing coyotes. All three dogs are now feasting on Voyager. And then he actually had sent the ALT values. So in October of 2023, the ALT was at 823. And as of March of 2024, 242.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
Dropped about by 3/4. Yeah. And
for anybody out there, if you go to the vet and they do blood work and you see a high ALT and they don't know what it's from, it could be related
to copper related issues.
Yeah. Because you can't technically diagnose copper storage disease without a liver biopsy.
Right.
But the ALT is a second solid guess.
Exactly. And like even what he wrote there for the experiment. The experiment was giving him a little bit of, I believe Dr. Pete had worked with him and his veterinarian to get him a 30-day dose of D-penicillamine to help with it, and then switching the diet. And a lot of times we even get clients that report it might not be that extreme of a drop in one bag of food, but just a simple food change can really help fix those liver values.
What kind of dog is this that is running after coyotes?
I don't know, but they're out in Colorado, so I'm out in the country dog.
Don't they have wolves in Colorado?
I think they probably do.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not sure.
I'm always worried whenever I hear people go out west with dogs. I'm like, don't you ever get worried? Because we're from Michigan, so we don't really have any.
Not at least in the Lower Peninsula.
Yeah, in the Lower Peninsula, we don't have any like snakes or wolves or anything crazy that would like kill your dog.
No.
Not that I'm thinking of, at least. But like people that go out west, it's like a big thing of like, oh, you can't bring your dogs out because of snakes or certain types of spider bites or.
Sure.
Yeah. Or wolves.
Right, gotta be watching out for
or
them.
Bears.
Or
oh my
cougars,
gosh.
Or mountain lions. A lot of things out there that eat your dog.
I know. Well, there's a lot of things out there that eat people too.
Exactly.
That's why I am just weary about hiking out there. I'd stick to safe old Michigan.
Sure. Absolutely.
But for all of our listeners that are out on that side of the country, let us know. Let us know what you do for your prevention on taking your dogs on hikes to prevent any attacks on anything. I'm honestly curious.
Especially bears. In bear country is always interesting.
I want to know. Because I know sometimes you're not even allowed to carry a gun in some places.
Or there's a lot of trails. Like I know when Natalie and I had gone and visited down south in Tennessee, there was a lot of paths where like this is a dog friendly one. And the rest of these you can't bring a dog on because of bear related issues.
Yeah,
like,
Tennessee, well, yeah.
Geez, got to be careful. And those are just black bear there. If you go out west and you got grizzlies or something like that, a little bit more mean.
See, I will, after watching, what was that movie, The Revenant?
Sure.
I will not
no.
mess with grizzly bears.
No.
Or brown bears.
I'm going to try to avoid them as well.
No, they're terrifying. But yeah, so that's all we got for the client report today.
Mm-hmm.
I know that normally we do rock and roll history.
Sure.
I am not a connoisseur. Well, I love rock and roll music, like historical.
Right, but nobody knows it like Dr. Pete.
Nobody knows it like Dr. Pete. So I was really kind of like, what am I going to do for today? And I thought that I would share an up-and-coming artist that I just saw in concert.
You still only considering him up-and-coming? I feel like a lot of people know who he is.
No, I don't know.
I think he's a little bit bigger than up and coming.
I feel like not, because he kept saying about like, I'm still new. Like a lot of people are getting to know my music. And I've been listening to him for, I want to say, because I had like two or three staple songs of his that I was listening to for years. And then somebody sent me a song like 3-4 months ago of one of his songs. And I was like, oh, I know this song. And it reminded me of how much I liked the song. So I started listening to a few of his other albums. Mm-hmm. I was like, this guy is so good. But it is Josiah and the Bonnevilles. And I'm going to play you guys some music of theirs and talk about him.
Yeah, so absolutely.
He does some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful covers of songs. So this is one of his covers.
He's got a lot of his own songs, too.
He does. But he released a cover. This is kind of how he got up and coming.
Sure, from the covers.
And the covers don't sound anything like the original songs. So this is Ghost by Justin Bieber.
Right. Absolutely. And very kind of folky tune to it.
Oh, my God. He puts in the harmonica and just does his guitar picking, and it was amazing.
Absolutely.
And so he, I'm just going to start from how he started. So he's an American singer-songwriter from Morristown, Tennessee. And at 17, he dropped out of high school and began traveling across the United States living out of his car.
Okay.
And he signed, because I just went to his concert, and he told all these stories about how he was signing all these record deals.
Right.
And they were never going anywhere for him. Sure. Because I guess he struggled with addiction and a couple other things. And he was going to quit music for a while. So he quit music, and I think he worked at an Amazon warehouse for a couple years. And then he went to Nashville, Tennessee, and he became a bartender. And then he started working on creating more and more music. And now he has a couple really, really good songs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But he released this cover album, and this is kind of how he got...
his first kind of big break.
Yeah, his first big break was because he released all these cover songs. I'm sure you know this one, Heat Waves.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just awesome. And he has so much soul to his voice, and it's raspy, and it's just awesome.
Sure. And how was the concert? Did he live up to everything you could have imagined?
It was amazing. Yeah. We got to meet him afterwards, and he was like the most humble, down-to-earth, genuine, sweet guy. And he was like, if anybody wants to share my music, it's so appreciated, and I'm so appreciative that you guys are here.
That's awesome.
And then I get to share this space with you guys. So he was, because you know how some artists, they come up there and they know that they're hot shit.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, you're lucky to be here type deal. And he just kept expressing over and over how grateful he was to be there, and how he's like so thankful for the tour and everything he's been through. And he was really cool. Probably my favorite artist to date.
There you go. That's awesome. Favorite concert you've been to then as
well? Probably. And it was at the Blind Pig in Ann Arbor. So it was a very small venue.
Right.
Which I've never been to a really small venue like that. Very intimate. You could like hear a pin drop between each song, because he would go on the mic and tell a story about why he wrote this song. Oh, we got Tyler calling us.
Oh no.
But he was great. It was definitely one of my favorite concerts that I've ever been to.
That's awesome. I'm sure it would be a good show.
But he also has a couple of really good albums that listeners should check out. Motel Mayday, and then he had another album that he just released that was called Endurance. If you guys want to, go check him out. It's Josiah and the Bonnevilles. A lot of his stuff is on Spotify, which is where I listen to it. But yeah, try to get his music out there, because I want to see him succeed.
Absolutely. More covers, too, because his covers are fantastic.
Yeah, and that's what he said. He got up on stage and he was like, everyone always asks me, are you scared of being the cover guy? And he was like, if I'm known as the cover guy, I'm just happy to be up here playing music for y'all.
There
so
you go.
He was really cool. He definitely loved him as an artist, as a person. And then I also bought one of his records and he signed it for me.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he was very, very nice.
Old school vinyl record.
Yep. So now I got to buy a record player.
You don't even have a. You bought one before even having a record player?
I know.
Jeez.
We're putting the chicken before the egg, or whatever you call it.
Horse before the carriage.
That's it.
I don't know.
That's
chicken
it.
Before the egg. Jesus. We're making up our own new sayings here.
I know. But I did buy a record player. Good. They're pretty cheap. They're like $50 on Amazon.
No, yeah, because I have one.
You do?
I do.
Do you have records?
Yes.
What records do you have?
We got all kinds of them, because Natalie's got all the Taylor Swift ones.
Oh, okay.
You know, some type
of
Childers.
I didn't know how expensive records were.
Well, they're kind of becoming popular again.
Okay. Do you you and I are like almost the same age, like a couple years difference?
Not even.
But two years?
No.
No, one?
Like less than one, but yeah.
Oh, okay. So you were at the same era of like, if you wanted music back in the day, we had to go to FYE or some type of music store and buy a CD.
Yep. And I remember getting Apple Music gift cards like Christmas. Like, oh, here's $10 to buy songs. I could buy 10 songs on Apple Music for my iPod.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Shuffle iPods?
I had one, absolutely.
Or is it even an
iPod? The little mini, too.
Yeah. Yep, those were the days. But I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, man, the technology that we have nowadays, we're so accessible to any type of...
Yeah, whatever you want to listen to. Like, you can go on YouTube or Spotify, right, Apple Music, anywhere, all the podcasts. You can get into anything you want. I remember
when they'd release like CDs and there would be a wait line like outside of FYE to get your new CD of whoever was releasing it. And that was a huge deal. I wonder how artists... I bet artists made a lot of money back then. Lot more than now. Because how do they get money from Spotify other than we pay for subscriptions?
Right. Or, I mean, they get paid per song still. But concerts. Like Luke Combs actually had an interview on a podcast somewhere recently where he talked about like how they pay out for Spotify and how it's not nearly as good as what it used to be like for radio plays and things like that and CD sales. So they're still making money like based on a certain amount of song or song plays. You get paid by some amount of quantity. But it wasn't, you'd have to get your song played an awful lot on Spotify to really make it make you any money.
Well, hopefully I'm making Josiah and the Bonnevilles a lot of money because I have their stuff on repeat right now.
Well, there you go.
So, okay, getting back to topic of information and peace of mind. I thought we could go back to kind of what we learned at Global Pet.
Sure. What do you got?
There are a ton of new product releases this year. And I just kind of want to throw it out there more as a discussion than like solid facts.
Okay.
Some of the products that I actually found the most interesting, I don't know if you stopped at a lot of these booths, but the ones that I found the most interesting were the ones that like they're almost like a natural sedation to dogs.
Explain, what do you mean?
So like there was a few companies there that they had these treats for dogs with a lot of like high anxiety, high stress.
Sure.
That they'd give them like this treat or
the CBD treats, things like
that. Yeah, yeah. So it's so hard because I know that veterinarians can sometimes be on the fence about like, oh no, that doesn't work because it's holistic or all natural.
Sure.
And I know that there's not really studies backing any of this stuff up. But to a certain extent, do you think that like when you give your dog something like that, that it actually works?
I mean, I'm sure there's some cases that it would, just like for people or things. I think every dog is going to be a different case. I mean, like I know like with my dogs that I've always had it, the best thing, like if I had a hyper dog, well, I take them outside and take them for a walk or play with them for a few minutes or kind of burn some of that energy. But I've never really had a high anxiety dog. I think if you had a dog that had a lot of separation issues or especially what we see a lot of times after the pandemic where a lot of people were home with their dogs 24/7 and now they have to go back to the office COVID or dogs. Go back to work. That those dogs suffer a lot from this being separate and having those anxieties because they were never left at home alone.
Right.
Somebody was always home since the day they were first brought home to 3-4 years later.
Right.
So I think sometimes stuff like that might work, but I personally don't have any experience with it.
The one that I kept seeing the most is valerian root.
Sure, yeah.
Which is like a natural sedation to dogs. But I have not done any personal research on valerian root
It would be interesting to hear if anybody that listens, any of our listeners, if they have experience with any of the CBD stuff. Because I know there's a lot of joint products out there that have some, or even I know in the gun dog world that there's a few foods out there that have it in there to help if you have a super high drive dog to kind of settle them down a little bit while they're out hunting. Yeah.
So if you actually look up like side effects of valerian root, it says headaches, stomach upset.
Is that for humans?
See, that's what I'm trying to figure out because I think that you can buy valerian root and like put it in tea.
Sure. I mean, I've definitely heard it before, so but I don't think I've ever had it.
But sometimes some of the side effects are like heart disturbances, insomnia, which is weird that insomnia in some people. So I'm not sure if it'd be the same if it'd transfer to dogs necessarily.
I don't know.
But I thought that was a very interesting...
Yeah. I remember seeing a lot of different things like that, especially the CBD stuff. I feel like that's really popular right now, and a lot of people are going that route for things. And you know, like you said, like I don't personally have any experience with it, but I've heard a lot of good things about it, that it does do a great job for some of these dogs.
I'm looking it up right now. It says the main side effect for dogs with valerian root is drowsiness.
Well, that's kind of what you'd be shooting for. If you're giving that to your dog, that's the goal.
I guess I wonder sometimes, like, how long do those last? I'd love to have someone on the podcast that could actually, like, deep dive into this. because I think that a lot of things in the pet food industry are misinformation.
I think there's a lot of that, or a lot of it's all going with what the current trends are, what's mm-hmm. popular in human consumption industry too. Like the CBD, I'm sure there are some benefits. Just like for people, it seems like there's some benefits and some research that shows there's positives to marijuana. I'm sure with dogs, some of that stuff might be the same as well. But is that only being talked about for dog use because it's become so popular in the human culture?
Right.
And we see that across the board in a lot of ways. Even with, you know, the new packaging requirements they're talking about, they're going to make dog food packaging labeling be exactly the same as human consumption labeling.
Which is going to be so much easier to read.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one that
people
I think is probably a good
trend. People ask me all the time
about
the mins, maxes, and I'm like, oh God, I don't know. They're so hard to understand.
Well, kind of.
Well, you know, because you're a whiz at that stuff. You took all the nutritional, well, I took some of the nutritional courses, but... and we also know that the grain-free was a big trend because that was around the time that a lot of people were going gluten-free.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, it all kind of coincided with each other.
A lot of people related the grain-free
to that their dog needed something that's grain-free as well.
Cardiomyopathy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is a heart condition. You want to explain that heart condition a little bit?
Yeah, it's essentially the heart not having a lot of cases, dogs need the grains, which provide a lot of the amino acid chain and taurine to help provide for a healthy heart. So if, when these dog food manufacturers took out the grains to kind of meet what the human consumption marketing was, or if I'm, you know, grain-free myself, then mm-hmm. I want my dog to be grain-free because I think it's better for them too because it's better for me. Well, that's not always the case. In a lot of cases we saw, there's no... real science proving this to be exact, but there's a lot of people in the scientific community that believe these grain-free diets were leading to dilated cardiomyopathy, which was causing hearts to get weaker and a lot of dogs to have issues. Because in a lot of those cases, as soon as you added a grain-inclusive diet back to the dog, a lot of times the heart condition would get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and talk some shit for a second. I used to work at a pet store, at the pet food store, part-time. And I had people coming in saying, I'm vegan. I want my dog to be vegan.
Right.
And I was like, why? Why?
Well, even if you look on TikTok or anything, you'll find the vegan cats. And those cats, it'll kill a cat.
Why? Why even do that? It's like, I don't know. Because it's like, I don't know. Because I don't want to talk too much shit. Because I know some vegans. But... I know that the vegans that I know, they have to take, what is it, the vitamin B12 supplement?
Sure, I'm not sure.
Is it? I think it's B12 because they don't get enough of the natural, like they have to supplement a lot of vitamins into their diet to be healthy and have a complete and balanced mm-hmm. diet. And especially like doctors are like, oh yeah, my doctor said I'm low on this and I'm low on this. I'm like, probably because you got to eat some meat.
Right.
But... I understand the lifestyle. I tried to go vegetarian for a little bit. I couldn't do it. Because I saw how animals were processed at a processing plant, and I had a really hard time with it. And I was like, okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
I see why people go vegetarian. And I think I tried it for like 3 or 4 months, and I was so tired all the time. And I was like, I don't even feel healthy doing this. And then I was like, okay, I kind of want to get into a way that I feel good about eating meat, which is why I got into hunting.
Sure, absolutely.
So I was like, okay, if I ethically go out and kill and eat my own food, that's a better system to me. So that's when I quit the vegetarian. But I know that there's a lot of vegetarian diets out there for dogs specifically, and I just don't understand it.
Right, and it's... I don't get it.
The only time that I feel like it could be justified is if that dog was allergic to every single protein.
And I think that's what a lot of those diets are kind of marketed towards, are these dogs that are just have a lot of protein related allergies and they're having a really hard time. But it's also the same thing if you look at a hydrolyzed diet or something with the...
Yeah, that's where the hydrolyzed diet comes into play. But I know that some people, like I said, I've talked to some people in the pet food industry and they say, oh yeah, people that want vegan diets for their dog or vegetarian diets, they come to this route because normally they're vegan or vegetarian. And
right.
I'm like, well, that doesn't mean your dog has to be.
Exactly.
Like dogs go out and eat dead animals all the time. At least mine does.
Wow, yours might be a little special.
If mine find a dead deer, that deer is getting snacked on. But my dogs are interesting. But I feel like even coyotes in the wild, like they eat.
Right. They're not eating a grain-free diet. No, they're not eating a vegetarian diet either. They're not just going out and eating corn on the cob out of the farm field. No.
No. But they're not going out and grazing on grass all day.
No.
No. That's why if you see, especially when I used to work on a farm that had a bunch of cows, if any of the cows would die, the coyotes would eat it up like boom, instantly.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I don't know. I just don't understand the vegan and the vegetarian diets for dogs. No, but
like you said, it's probably more directed towards the marketing side because, you know, one of the things I see say all the time and see is we're in the pet food industry. Everything's marketed towards somebody that's not actually consuming the product. So you go out and buy the food for your dog and your dog's not telling you if they really liked it or not. You might be able to tell by stool quality or how their coat looks or how they act after eating a meal. But at the end of the day, they're not saying, oh, no, I prefer the chicken over the fish, or actually that fish diet was really good. Can you keep buying that one? You never know.
Yeah, it's very hard as pet parents to make educated, sound choices on what we're giving our dogs just because there is so much stuff out there and there's so much information. And just from being at Global Pet Expo, I felt like you talk to one company and they'd have a stance on something and then they'd say, oh, well, this is bad or this is bad. And then you go over to another company that maybe had food that other companies were saying was bad or you shouldn't use this protein, and then they were arguing as to why it's good and why it's healthy. And I was like, gosh, this must be so confusing because you're getting hit with all this stuff all the time. And then you're getting told that raw diets are the best or elite, and then you're getting told to feed the farmer's dog. And then you're getting told that kibble's like evil to feed your dog. I'm sure you've seen those ads.
I have.
Oh my gosh. But it's just you're getting bombarded with marketing all the time.
No, it's a huge industry and there's more and more dogs every day.
How big is the industry?
46 billion.
$46 billion. I thought it was $53 billion. Nope. A little off. But huge industry. And like I said, there's so many different things being done. And Ben and I got to see firsthand.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely an eye-opener to walk in there for the first time. And not only just the pure size of how big of an event it was, but all of the stuff there and all the people. So I'm actually really interested to go to Pet Food Forum, which will be another one I'm going to. It's more industry people versus the retail side of things.
Yeah, most definitely.
I think maybe it'll be a little bit more of a interesting conversation based on actual nutrition side and things of that nature versus just what the packaging looks like.
I was really surprised how many people there did not know enough about their own product.
Yeah.
Ben and I were stopping in a few booths and asking very general questions like, what's the protein content? What's the fat content? And people were like, no idea.
Right. Well, you know, and to give them the benefit of the doubt, some of those people are just hired into work trade show booths. So they're just there to be a body there to try to.
I feel like you need to know this stuff about your product.
You would think so. And some of the new products, I mean, you never know how big these companies are and how many people are actually daily working on some of the stuff hand to hand. Yeah. Those might have been just customer service people. So give them the benefit of the doubt. But I was caught off guard a little bit as well by some very simple questions.
Well, when someone comes in our booth for Voyager and asks a question and I don't know what it is, I'm like, shit, I gotta know this. I'm really hard on myself when I don't know an answer because I pride myself on knowing almost not everything.
But trying to know everything.
To know everything so I can give people educated answers. But I'm always like, you know what? I don't know that. But when I have an answer, I will call you and I'll write down their question and call them back whenever I have the answer.
Sure, absolutely.
So I don't know. I think that's so important. I think it's important if you're going to buy a dog food out there to call the customer service line and ask very specific questions.
Yeah, sure. I think that's a good idea. If you have questions about the food or your veterinarian has questions about it.
Yeah.
Or even if your veterinarian recommends a food, you should always follow up and see and make, you know, an educated decision for your dog yourself.
Yeah, do your own research. Don't just go with something because someone told you to. Because I feel like that happens a lot. People just hear about, oh, well, I heard from my friend that this is a really healthy dog food. I'm like, did you do your own research? Always do your own research. And like I said, look into the ingredients. Look into how many proteins there are. What else do you think that they should look into? Obviously, the copper content in the food.
Yeah, copper content.
See if they
content,
add copper.
For sure. You know, where the food's manufactured. You know, you can ask them a lot of questions about where the food's coming from, where the ingredients being sourced.
Where the ingredients sourced. Yeah, that's another big one.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Ask if a nutritionist helped
formulate the
diets. Yeah, exactly. There's so many things. And if all of your questions are answered and you're feeling solid about it, that's probably a pretty good food to go with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But like I said, always do your own research. All right. What else we got? You want to do a section of label lies?
Sure. What do you got?
Well, I haven't given you one.
No, you haven't. So is this a treat or a food?
This is a treat.
Okay.
These are very interesting treats. First ingredient, beef.
Well, seems like I'm going to have a problem with this one right away.
Okay. Some dogs are allergic to beef. Some dogs are not.
Right. And that's what we always say here is anything with beef, wheat, or dairy to try to avoid. Those are typically your three most common food allergies in a dog. So anytime you see a beef protein or a dairy protein like that, just something I wouldn't feed my dog, Duke, because he is allergic to it.
Oh, but my God.
I'm ready. What's ingredient number two?
Your dog gets allergic when it looks at something. Beef. All right. Chicken is the second one.
Okay.
Rice.
Rice. We like rice.
Vegetable glycerin.
That's okay.
Sugar.
That's probably fine.
You like sugar in treats?
Normal? It depends. I don't know what we're working with.
I always question the sugar for some reason because I'm like, is it really good for my dog to just get like a sugary treat?
I mean, we'll keep reading the
ingredients. It's pretty high in the ingredients. Okay.
Sure.
Natural flavor.
Okay.
Vinegar.
Okay.
Salt.
Mm-hmm.
Natural smoke flavor.
Okay.
And then paprika for color.
And that's the whole thing?
That's the whole thing.
What are the, what's the calories per treat? Does it say that right there?
3,150 kcal. So
what is it per treat?
27 per
27. Okay, so that's not a bad treat. That's pretty low calorie for a treat. So the sugar I wouldn't be concerned about. I think overall this is going to be some kind of like a beef snack stick kind of an item. That's what I'm guessing. You know, if your dog doesn't have a problem with beef, I think the rest of the ingredient panel is probably okay. I just know in my case, I always tend to avoid it.
Yeah, they're called natural steak dog treats.
Yeah. Honestly, it didn't seem like there was a ton of ingredients there because I'm a big believer in as limited amount of ingredients as possible. That's what I always recommend to all of my friends and family and
apples,
people that call
bananas
them.
And carrots.
Yeah, apples, bananas, and carrots. You can't get any better than that. Green beans, ice cubes, cucumbers. Those are the places you want to be. But for a nice packaged treat, if your dog doesn't have a beef issue, this is probably an okay option.
I made such a mistake the other day. I gave my dogs like whole, like the big carrots.
Wow, that seems. Do they eat the whole thing whole?
No, but the amount of like little carrot chunks that I was picking up off my carpet for like days afterwards.
Hey, you gotta give them the baby carrots.
Oh my God. And then one of the dogs went on one of my carpets and was eating it and it got like the carrot stain on the carpet.
Oh man.
And I was like, why did I do this?
Molly, you should have known better.
Well, they were so happy.
But you just get a whole little bag of baby carrots and they just as happy.
Well, I'm pretty sure when I give some of the dogs the baby carrots, they just swallow them whole.
Wow.
So I was like, maybe this will like prevent that. But no, they just shredded them. They like apples though. And then they love apples and peanut butter.
Yeah.
And I've been getting a lot of comments, some on social media about like, don't give your dogs peanut butter because it has I forget what the ingredient is. Is it xylitol? No.
I'm not sure.
There's an ingredient in peanut butter that everyone was telling me to look out for.
Yeah, I haven't heard that about peanut butter. I've always used peanut butter as a good treat method, and it seems like most
xylitol. I was right.
So as long as it doesn't have xylitol, you'd probably be okay.
I did not realize that, and I don't. There's only a couple of peanut butters that contain xylitol, and I think it's like Go Nuts Company, Nuts and More, P28. But I don't think that Jif contains xylitol.
I was about to say my boy Jif is doing okay though.
Do you even buy Jif?
No, I buy Meyer brand.
I was going to say, I've never seen you with Jif.
Meyer brand peanut butter.
Oh my goodness. I buy Jif by like the, I'll go into Costco and buy like the two huge.
The twin pack, yeah.
The twin pack because my dog.
You got six dogs to feed it.
Love peanut butter. And Ren's recovering from a surgery right now.
It's a lot of pills.
So yeah, a lot of pills. And I feel bad because she's kind of crate bound right now because she's not allowed to do a lot of walking.
Sure.
And so what I've been doing is taking like the little plastic tires,
peanut butter in there,
and filling them with peanut butter, and then freezing them.
Oh, it probably loves it.
Yes,
the Kong toys and stuff like that. Duke loves those too.
Yes, if you ever want to give your dog a really good treat, I recommend the frozen peanut butter and the dog toys.
I like the we actually saw a lot of these at Global Pet too, like the trays that you lay out that you can fill with like water and green beans and carrots and peanut butter, and then you freeze it.
Yeah,
and it's like a licking pad. Yeah, that's what they was called. Licking pad.
I always want to get one of those for my dogs, but
yeah, I think they would probably all six of them, just one big giant one.
I know. The latest one that I've seen with the peanut butter is where they smear the peanut butter on the forehead when you're cutting the nails, and I'm like, God, that's commitment.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Duke's just going to lay there and take it.
Sage does not. Sage cries when I cut her nails. She's so terrified. Her whole body quakes.
See, Duke's not, he's not afraid of it. But I started, like, as he was a puppy, played with his feet all the time and played with his ears. So if I got to ever clean his ears or clean his eyes or anything like that.
See, Sage was fine with the nail clippings for a really long time.
Did you get her one time?
I nicked her one time. And you would have thought that that dog died.
It probably hurts a lot.
She, and I felt so bad, and I looked at it, and honestly, it was not even that bad how I got her. Because, like, sometimes if you hit a quick, like, it bleeds. Yeah. And so I put some of the quick stop on it. Mm-hmm. If anybody does not know, you should go on Amazon. And actually, you know what? You don't even need to go on Amazon to get quick stop, because you can use a...
Cornstarch.
Cornstarch. Mm-hmm. But I had quick stop. But I put the quick stop on it, and I was like, it's really not that bad. And ever since then, she was just like, hell no. You are not clipping my nails. I am scarred for life.
Poor girl.
I know. I felt so bad. But it is what it is. But is there anything that you have for me to wrap up the podcast? Because that was our last segment.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. So lots that we learned at Global Pet. Ben will give you an update when he gets back from...
Pet Food Forum.
And other than that,
maybe some more learned new information for us.
Some learned it.
I'm going to learn me some stuff.
All right, guys. Well, let's get some outro music. Well, we sure appreciate you guys listening along with us today, and we hope that you've been able to share some information that will help you love your animals as much as they love you. Don't forget, always treat the treatable so you can prevent the preventable. We'll catch you on the next one.
See ya.
See ya.